Rise up with me as we read the Word of God together. Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to read from verse 21 through to 28, and we're going to read together in a loud voice, as loud as you can. If I drop off, just keep reading. Matthew 15, from verse 21 through to verse 28. 1, 2, go. And behold, praise the Lord. I said in a loud voice. In a loud voice. Loud voice. You can look at the screen so that we're all reading from the same version. And I need you to read in a loud voice. 1, 2, go. She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Everybody say amen. Thank you, Father. We welcome your presence. Come and do what you alone can do in this place today. Come and minister life to us. And those who believe God said, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It does not matter who you are. It does not matter where you come from. It does not matter what your name is. It does not matter if you are a white person. You are a black person, an Asian person. It's irrelevant because we all have something in common. What do we have in common? We all have a problem. And given the fact that many people in church know how to hide their problems, we hide our problems behind our fine clothes. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, deep down, we have a need of Jesus Christ. We need Jesus Christ in our situation. This woman we have read about today, she has no name. No name woman. Nobody knows her name. Nobody knows her importance. But from the story we read, we know where she came from. We know the city where she was born. And we know her problem. She may not have a name. Like many people may not recognize you. They may not think you are anything because you are not like them. You are not deserving like them. Instead of calling you by your name or asking you what your name is, they identify you by your problem. They identify you by what you look like. Praise the Lord. But one thing I know, it does not matter. It does not matter if you don't know me. It does not matter if you don't know who I am. It does not even matter if you don't think I'm important at all. But the truth of the matter is, there is no human being that God created that has no purpose. Praise the Lord. Everybody has a purpose. Tell yourself, I am important. Oh, you better say it like you believe it. I am important. From the problem of this woman that we have known and found out from this scripture, our problem was her daughter. The problem was not an ordinary problem. The Bible said it was a grievous problem. It was a serious problem. Our daughter was demonized. Our daughter was everything but normal. One minute everything looks okay with her. The next minute, everything goes haywire. She becomes weird looking. But the Bible says she came out. Somebody says she came out. Come on, say she came out. She came out to Jesus. I can tell you something here. Solution will not come until you are willing to come out of that situation. Hello? Some of us bottle things up. We pile up our problems within us. We don't want anybody to know what we are going through. Today, you have to let out. If you need to be delivered, you have to let out. You need to come out of that pain you are going through. You need to come out, and you will come out of that thing that has brought reproach into your life. Can you imagine this woman? How women like to talk about their children. In the midst of friends, if she had any. When one said, oh, my daughter, she's in the university. Oh, my daughter, she's about to get married. If you see my daughter, the new car she just bought. If you see my daughter, the new house she just had, she has nothing to say. In the midst of those people, if she said, everybody looks at her, what are you going to say? We already know your situation. There's nothing to brag about where your child is concerned. I'm believing God that something is going to change today. I said something is going to change today. You see, let me tell you something. If you are going to be very psychedelic today, that's your problem. You understand what I'm trying to say? I came here to give you a solution. So if I tell you to say something that attaches itself to amen, and you keep your mouth shut, I'm not to blame. Praise the Lord. Maybe you are not ready. Somebody say, I'm ready. Come on, say it like you mean it. Someone say it like you mean it. Hallelujah. Amen. This woman came out. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, He says, before I formed thee, I knew thee. That already says that God knows her. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, God knows you. The Bible says he knows my down sittings and my uprisings. Psalm 139 verse 2. He knows my down sitting. He knows my uprising. He knows my thoughts from afar off. Matthew 6:32. He says, he knows your need. He knows my need. And somebody will ask, okay, but if God knows my need, why is he not doing something about it? We're about to learn a lesson today. The title of my message is, I refuse to be refused. Come on, say it like you mean it. I refuse to be refused. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This woman, she had a lot of disadvantages. And I'm going to tabulate some of them for us today. Number one, she was from Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon. Sidon was the son of Canaan, the grandson of Noah. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 25, the Bible says, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Cursed. This was God speaking. It was God who pronounced, or through Noah. Noah pronounced that curse. Remember, Noah was a prophet. He did not just curse the one that sinned. He cursed the generations inside him. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. What rights do servants have? What positions do servants have? No right and no position. This cut across their generation. Jesus had met Canaanite-ish women before. At least one example. He never wrought a miracle in their lives. Except for one, he said that the man you are living with now is not your husband. And the woman went into the village and spoke about the man she met at the well. Praise the Lord. This woman, her parents were disadvantaged to her. Remember, Samaria is not Israel, oh, Bible students. This woman, her parents were disadvantaged to her. Now she came. They said, Jesus is passing by. She too came out and ran after Jesus, called his name, Jesus, thou son of David, like Bartimaeus, have mercy on me, help me. And everybody around her said what? Keep quiet. Amen. Anyone who does not encourage you to praise God, anyone who does not encourage you to pray, they are telling you to remain the same. Praise the Lord. They are telling you your situation is okay. Why are you praying? Why are you praising God? To the point that even the disciples at a point became disturbed. They become passionate towards this woman. They said to Jesus, because Jesus did not answer her, the same one that said, we should cry unto him and he will answer. Praise the Lord. Now somebody is crying to him, he's not answering. And the disciples said, verse 23, he said, he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, they came to do what? Besought him. They came to beg him. Answer this woman. You can't do what she's asking for. Send her away. They are not saying, send her away. We don't want her here. They are saying, answer her. Send her away with an answer. Because how do I know? Because the way Jesus answered told me everything. And Jesus answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of Israel. He already knew she was from Canaan. He already knew she was a Canaanite. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of Israel. And Jesus said that, rightly so. You shall have a child, you shall have a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. Romans 1:16, salvation is first unto the Jews, then to the Greeks, before the Gentile. This was a Gentile woman. That was another disadvantage. So Jesus was saying in a nutshell, your time for a blessing has not come. Even though I have a need now, and I know you can solve my problem, but you are telling me that my time has not come. But I thought they said, you are the one who went about doing good, healing all those that were sick. Before I go ahead of myself, let me pause a little bit. This woman was having a rough time. Do you know that sometimes life can be rough? Oh, I've been through rough times. Sometimes I go through rough times. Rough times differ from one person to another. And beside, this woman, she was not a bad woman. She wasn't a bad woman. Nobody said, oh, she's a witch. Nobody said, oh, she's an adulterer. Nobody said, oh, she's a thief. She wasn't a bad woman. She was just a woman with a problem. She was just a woman who had a need. It was not her fault that she was born a Canaanite. It's not my fault that I'm a black man. Why should my blackness become a denial for what can help me? She was suffering from a generational curse. Something her great-great-great-grandfather did called Canaan. She's been denied because of the foolishness of that man who went to uncover the nakedness of his father. But one thing this woman recognized was that, yes, it may not be my fault. Where I am now, the situation I'm going through now, may not be my fault, but I am responsible for the outcome of my situation. What you are going through may not be your fault, But church, we are all responsible for what happens next. We can't keep on playing the victim. We can't keep on playing the race card. We can't keep on reciting what we do not have. We have a responsibility to do something about where we are. Is somebody getting me? I can't hear you now. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Peter. I'm taking you somewhere this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For your calling, your election, your situation to change. In other words, Peter is saying it's your responsibility. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. I preached on this before. There are certain things Peter laid out. He said, if you do them, not if somebody does them for you, not if God does them for you, if you do them, he says, you will never fail. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you are responsible. Praise the Lord. What does this mean? This means you have to decide what to do now and what not to do. Not just now, but every day. You have to make up your mind whether to go with them or to stay at home. You have to make up your mind whether to pray or sleep. You have to make up your mind whether to praise or look pretty. By law, as a Canaanite, this woman had no right. She was not qualified for the blessing. Amen? She lived in a wrong era. Can you imagine the first slaves that arrived on the shore of America? And those who were in the slave era before now, you say you're having it bad. Huh? What about them? If you break an egg, they will slice your back. If you don't wake up on time, you may lose your life. You are the beck and call of somebody who imposes himself or herself as a master. You are tossed to and fro against your will. Why am I living in this time when everything is difficult? No, you have not found difficult yet. But thank God, we also live in an era of solution. I didn't hear an amen to that. I can't see you today. You have to wait. Until when, sir? When the veil of the temple is broken into two. When the dispensation of the Jews is over, you have to wait for Paul to come and preach to you before you get your deliverance. Oh, no, sir. My need cannot wait till tomorrow. You see, there are people in church. You will know who is serious with God by the way they worship. You will know who is really, really in need of God by the way they pray. You will know who really cannot wait for their lives to change, but how quick they come to church. This woman came out. She was not ready to go back. She was not going to take no for an answer. She was going to be like that widow at the gate of the judge. I ain't living here until I get what I came for. She was going to be like Jacob. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. But today, our Christianity has become so lackadaisical. Coming to church has become just to come and mark time. Because in our minds, we have a solution by ourselves. This woman had no right. She was limited where she could go. Can you imagine? Let me tell you something, please. And whoever may be watching or watch this broadcast at some point, I'm not a racist. Never. But the truth still needs to be told. Can you imagine in that era, you are pressed to go to the bathroom and you lift up your eyes and the only bathroom you can see says white only. I'm pressed, but I can't go there. There is an emergency now. And I need to get to the hospital now. And there's an ambulance parked. The EMTs are snoring, sleeping. Emergency. Sorry. This is not for black people. We can't take somebody like you. Ask your friend to carry you on his back to the hospital. That is 23 miles away. Somebody say, but. You're too quiet for me today. Say, but. A disqualification did not stop her from praying. Jesus deliberately did not answer. Maybe you have been praying and praying. And the answer seems not to be coming. And you are about to quit. Pray a little bit more. This woman did not stop. Let's go back to our text. Verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not going to answer her because I've not been sent to her yet. But unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Oh, okay. right. When it's my turn, I'll come back, sir. Oh, no. What did she do, verse 25? As if she had not come before. The Bible says, then she came. Somebody said, then she came. She pressed and worshipped. Okay, your prayer is not going to work. Let me start worshiping. Let me go into intense worshiping. Worshipped him. Saying, Lord, Lord, help me. Help me. Is there somebody in the church today who wants to say, Lord, please help me. My situation needs tending to. Help me. Then he turned to her. You dog. How can I give the bread of the children to a dog like you? That was a major roadblock. Especially for many of us looking at me and listening to my voice. And for many who are going to watch this broadcast. That was a major roadblock. Hold on. Me? A dog? Hold on. Who do you even think you are? You see, that's how many people lost their blessing. Because immediately, what we call defense or buy ourselves back is pride that sets in. She was already on the ground. How further can she go? She was already on the ground. She knew she was disqualified. He told her, you are not qualified. Dogs are not allowed. I remember when I visited Robben Island in Cape Town, South Africa. I just needed to see where Mandela was imprisoned. Oh, please, you have to give me time today. Because I believe God wants to do something. There was a board there. Categories of prisoners. White, Indian, another race, something else, then colored, and then black. The white can drink tea and eat bread. The black cannot drink tea and eat bread, even in prison. They are only allowed once in a while. Their staple food was just probably beans, I can't remember. I saw it, I cried. I had to go back again. The second time. Dogs allowed, blacks not allowed. Even today, dogs are still more valued than a lot of human beings. I met a man who said he got a credit card for his dog. You apply. You ask you your job. They didn't interview the dog. because the dog was more important. But regardless, this woman just refused to be refused. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting off. I'm not turning back. What are the odds against you today? Tell your neighbor you can beat them. One thing I've discovered is people with real needs, they don't take no for an answer. Huh? People who have a real need, if you like, tell them no 20 times. They won't take no for an answer. Hallelujah. How soon do you give up? How soon? Some people have stopped coming to church, stopped totally seeking the presence of God because somebody said something they did not like. Like I read the story of Mahatma Gandhi, that it was because of an usher that he did not become a Christian. Okay, if somebody had confronted the usher later and the usher repented, the usher will make heaven. But Gandhi ain't making heaven. Hello? Or shouldn't I say it? He didn't receive Jesus as his Lord. They called him the father of India. Except he received Jesus as Christ as his Lord and Savior before he died. He's probably in hell now groaning. And want to blame it on one usher. The usher is not your savior. The person who spoke to you anyhow is not your savior. The one who died for you, his name is Jesus. He's the one you need to hold on to. And the one who died for you called that woman a dog. She knew she was at her last bus stop. Maybe you have another option. I don't. This woman was like, okay, I'm going to be a dog. But Jesus, I'm here now. I can't go back empty. Have you seen a dog beg before? Huh? Dogs of today, they have trained them. You know, some dogs pray before they eat now. Huh? Some dogs are they are specialists in begging. You will see them put their two hands together, their tails wagging and doing like this. Jesus, I'm here now. I can't leave why I came. Somebody say, I'm here now. I understand all your theories and philosophies, but I'm here now. I can't let you go until you bless me. At least dogs too receive petting. Jesus, it may not be my time, but you can make time for me. When he was invited to the marriage of Cana of Galilee, and his mother said, there is no wine. What did he say? Woman, my time has not come yet. And the mother said, servants, whatever he tells you to do, go and do it. He made time. But I have news for somebody today. God has time for you today. Ah, I say God has time for you today. I may not deserve it, but I know you can help me. Rather than become a nuisance to men, why don't you become a nuisance to God? At least you know you'll get something from it. Praise the Lord. Men can rubbish you and rubbish you for nothing. But we refuse to be a nuisance for God. More than ever, we pose for God. We are psychedelic for God. The one that can solve our problems. I'm only talking to people who have a problem, like me. She praised him more. She worshiped him more. She refused to let go. Oh, Pastor, you don't know how I've prayed. You don't know how I've worshiped. I have news for you. It may be your next praise that will release the blessing on you. It may be the next prayer point that will release the blessing on you. So why will you give up? You see, in this world we live in today, people can criticize your faith. Don't let that bother you. They call you a fanatic. Why are you so crazy about this church? Why are you so crazy about Jesus? Tell them, come. Come and catch the bug. Then you'll be more crazy than I am. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember that a closed mouth is a closed destiny. You close your mouth, you seal your destiny. By your words, you shall be justified. By your words. A couple of more questions. Is your situation pushing you closer to God or away from God? The friends you keep, are they moving you closer to God? Or they are killing God inside you? Some of us value our friends more than we value Jesus. You know, people lie. Your friend has said, I'll take a bullet for you. No, they've not seen the scenario. Before the gun is shot, they are gone. Write this down. Faith finds encouragement even in a discouraging circumstances or in discouraging circumstances. Faith finds encouragement even in discouraging circumstances. The faith that this woman had to pursue Jesus was crushed by Jesus himself. Even Jesus himself crushed her faith. But this woman said, no. Faith, my faith, is the evidence of things hoped for. Hallelujah. Or the substance of things hoped for. My faith is the evidence of things yet to be seen. I'm not giving up. I refuse to be refused. When Jacob woke up in the morning receiving the blessing, he said, you have wrestled with God. You have won with God. And you have won with men. One of the things in our Christian faith that we have not realized, solutions don't come to you. You go to it. Hello? Did you hear me? You fight for what is yours. You fight for what Jesus has made available for you and I. And where do we fight this fight of faith? It's in the place of prayer. It's in the place of worship and praise. He is on our knees or when we go up and down connecting with heaven. That's where we find the fight. We don't sit down and wait. Yes, the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, waiting upon God, not waiting on nothing. Waiting in fasting and praying, waiting in praises, waiting in prayers, waiting in worship. If you can praise God through your need, if you can praise God through your pain, I can tell you today that your needs can be met. Many of us are so discouraged that the discouragement does not even allow us to worship, does not allow us to praise, does not allow us to pray. Can you pray through your pain? And you worship through your pain, then you are ready for your needs to be met. Can you imagine being humiliated publicly? It was not in secret. It was a public humiliation. People around heard Jesus call this woman a dog. I've preached on the crumbs before, so that's not my message today. There are so many messages that can come out of this woman's story. Those who did not know our purpose. Then Jesus suddenly turned to the same woman that he said, no, it's not your time. I can't answer you. And said, wow, great is your faith. From today, people will learn your story and learn from you. Even though that was not written, that's what we are doing today, isn't it? The purpose of that woman is what we are benefiting from today. That woman was created to teach you and I a lesson of resilience, a lesson of importunity, a lesson of not giving up so easily. She was not even fighting for herself. It was for her daughter. We don't know how old she is, so we might say, oh, she's a little girl. She might not be a little girl. Can you endure critics? Can you pass by and pass through and wade off like water on the back of a dock? Those who say, you are going to that church again? I counseled with a young man or a couple last week. I told them the truth in the Word of God. And the young man called me during the week and said, Pastor, before we came to you, many people said we shouldn't come to you because you are a principled person. You may not allow us to do what we want to do the way we want to do. He said, but I said, that's the kind of person I want to go to. Some of us know. Let me better go and do what I want. Because I don't want the truth. I don't want to be hit in the face with the truth. You see, if the foundation is wrong, anything you build on that foundation is going to be wrong. And it's going to collapse eventually. It's a matter of time. It has been tested over and over. If you can worship him, every long-standing problem will give way today. Every roadblock in your life will give way today. Let's rise now.